All right, welcome to another episode of the 20 Mile Podcast. I'm here, your host, Mike Williams, with another founder and his march. We're talking with Sean Borquin. That's how you say your name, correct?
That is correct.
From First Light Technologies. Really excited again to hear another founder's story and chat with Sean. We know each other quite well, so looking forward to doing this. So a little bit about Sean. What's your role at First Light?
So my role here at First Light is CEO. I've officially had that role for about 3 years.
Wow.
Co-founder of the business. That's it.
Yeah, cool. Great. And where are you from? You're from Victoria?
I'm a born and raised Victorian.
Nice.
Escaped for short periods at various times, but always
came back.
Found a reason to be back here.
It's not a bad place to be.
That's true.
What's your education, your background?
Yeah, I did a technology program at Camosun in electronics and then worked for a few years and then decided to go back and do my engineering degree in computer engineering.
Awesome.
And then my specialization was in systems engineering.
Okay, and you talk a lot about product management. Did you take a formal product management?
Yeah, it's interesting. I really was intrigued by how things work. And I liked working on physical things. But then once I started my career, you know, I didn't have any formal training in product management, but I always gravitated to, you know, different kinds of problems, moving beyond just pure technical problems into more like why people want to buy things. You know, why should we make this? Why should we make that? Do people even want it? Is it good? Is it bad? I started asking more questions.
Right.
And that led me through to a sales engineering role than a product management role, where it was more just on the job learning.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm just so interested in the product management role. But,
yes.
So when you're not at work, or you're not, you know, here at First Light growing things, what are you doing? What are your hobbies?
Yeah, hobby-wise, I love mountain biking. That's been my outlet. You know, I've been on a bike since I could probably walk, and mountain biking's always been a thing I've come back to over the years. And so now, you know, I live out close to the trails and try to get out 3-4 times a week.
Yeah, what's your go-to trail?
If
there is one, I don't
know. This,
I'm not a biker.
Yeah, good question.
I'm a cyclist. I stick to the road.
You know, this time of year in the evenings, it's good just to go up above Durance, Partridge Hills, and just try to catch the last of the daylight.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds so cool. What do you consider your superpower?
I think for me, I really like to hone in on problems. I get excited by the future and what could be. And that generates a lot of stoke for me. I get pretty pumped about ideas. And I think, you know, harnessing that energy and honing in and to try to take a idea from just this concept into a real thing, it's that ability, I think, is probably my superpower.
Yeah, cool. No, I definitely, you know, I was talking about roles today and like where I work. It's like, I need a problem. I need a challenge, right? Whether I'm good at tackling this, I don't know. But yeah. I need that there. So
yeah, me too.
Great, great skill to have as a founder and an entrepreneur. So just tell me a little bit about First Light Technologies.
So First Light, we're now 10 years old this year. You know, we really started this business with a pretty tight focus around getting into solar-powered outdoor lighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming from a background with a history in solar lighting, the founding team, certainly, you know, one of our partners is Dr. David Green, a founder of another local company, Carmana Technologies, certainly another generation of, you know, in his case, a serial entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've really specialized and focused up on solar lighting and really it's paying dividends now with a lot of growth. And you know, we take a lot of pride in the fact that we design and manufacture everything here in Victoria, and we sell lights 30 countries, all over, mostly the US. But, you know, it's fun to actually, you know, make something and
yeah.
do it from a place like Victoria, where it's actually pretty hard to make a physical thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of digital products being exported.
Yeah.
But you have what I would consider like a real business. Like, you have real business problems, like inventory and manufacturing and.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, we get to live things like trade wars and really feel the impacts of what happens
right.
when someone puts a duty on this or, you know, countervailing measures of different kinds. And, you know, we're it's such a global community. We source, you know, as close to home as we can, but that does mean oftentimes in the US. So, you know, shipping things back and forth across borders, you learn a lot about
mm-hmm.
what's going on. And when you see things on the news about trade, you know, you can really identify with what's going on. You know, and even in our case, right, almost, I would say 90% of what we do goes into the U.S. You know, it'll go to customers like Marriott, Intel, American Express, really cool sites like the museum in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, cool. I was just there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the parking lot is lit by our lights. It's great.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Waikiki Aquarium.
Yeah.
You know, the National Capital Commission in Ottawa is a customer. Just hundreds of municipalities are customers. So it's really fun. I was in Hawaii spring break, and we're driving in Kauai and drive by a shopping center, and there's a bunch of our lights in the parking lot, and I just get all stoked, like, yeah, that's so cool. And we had another guy who was in Maui at the Maui Brewery, and he sent back a picture of our lights, and it's really kind of fun to see, you know, the reach that we've been able to develop from, you know, small Victoria here.
Yeah.
And we're touching people all over the world.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like you mentioned, 30 countries, right? Like you must have been to some cool places.
Yeah, it's, you know, that was, you know, one of the benefits of starting a solar lighting company is you tend to work in places with some sun. So the early part of First Light, you know, going back to, the beginning of First Light, we really had no money. You know, so we it was a pure bootstrap situation where from day one, we had to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So our first customer was in Colombia. Within 3 days of starting the business, we were on a highway in Colombia fixing solar lights that had been installed, you know, in the past.
And, yeah.
You know, it really just hammered home how hard solar lighting can be. And if it's not done just perfectly, it can be a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, we worked in Colombia, we've worked in Venezuela, all through the Caribbean, Middle East, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, did some consulting for an Italian lighting company, got to go out to visit their head office, Moroccan Air Force,
wow.
All through the States, you know, all over.
Yeah.
And so it's been a great experience that way.
Yeah. That's super cool to visit all those places and, you know, do it on work's time. Right, which is kind of yours, but when you mentioned you were bootstrapped, and I know this about your stories, you started out consulting,
yes,
and then converted to a product company.
Yeah,
can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. You know, I knew when we started this business exactly kind of what our products needed to do. I, you know, with that product management mentality, I started developing before we started the business. You know, I honed in on why I thought solar lighting wasn't as successful as it should be. And I thought I had ideas around why that could be. You know, I really wanted to explore that. But once we started the business, there became, you know, the practical problems of like, oh yeah, I have a wife and I have four kids, mm-hmm. and we kind of have to pay for things like mortgages and food and things like that. So the practical realities just led to, okay, we need to get some dough.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do what people do when they need to do. Let's consult and, you know, let's pretend we're the experts. And, you know, it was good. We had built out a pretty good Rolodex, when we started, and, you know, we were working for green tech investors, Venezuela government, Kuwaiti oil company, you know, an Italian lighting company. It was just this crazy breadth, tons of solar consulting projects. We timed our start when it was a big solar program in Ontario. So we did hundreds of designs for customers in Ontario, just Department of Homeland Security in the States, just anything we could do to try to build up a war chest, because we had, you know, that vision in my mind of what solar lighting needed to be was pretty clear. And we just needed to get some money to live and then, you know, save up and try to develop a product, our first product.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's when things changed a little bit because, you know, I'd known, you know, Dr. David Green since I co-opted back at Carmana Technologies as an engineering student. So I got to know him a bit there and, you know, I'd used him as a mentor for quite some time. You know, just I kept in touch because he was just a great guy and, you know, he was always super encouraging, you know, whatever I was doing, he was interested and he always made time. So I really appreciated that. And, you know, we knew he had an interest in what we were doing. So we, you know, I talked to him and just asked him if he was interested in investing in us. And, well, you know, I don't know. I know a lot of people put a lot of effort into pitching, but it was about a, you know, 15-minute conversation with Dave about what we were doing. He knew me. He had a sense of what I was all about. And, you know, and you know, he just was picking that personality and he believed in what we were doing.
Right. And it kind of speaks to that idea that people invest in people that they know, not necessarily the idea. And so you'd probably been kind of pitching to him without realizing it over the years that you knew him.
For sure.
And then it was just a matter of, hey, I got this thing. It's like, yep.
Well, it was funny because when I finished university, I went and worked outside of solar lighting, didn't work in, I worked in radio communications. And then, you know, I, like I mentioned, I and, you know, try to escape Victoria a few times and was never successful doing that. And so I'd quit that job at the radio company, and I would want, you know, my wife and I, she's not from Victoria, and we thought, like, let's go adventure. Let's go live somewhere else.
Sure.
And so just before leaving, I met with Dave, you know, and Dave always had a vision for what solar lighting could be. And I shared that same vision. And so he's like, hey, why don't you come and see what's going on at Carmana? I went, and it was electric at that time. You know, it was a really booming company, high growth, and I'd never been in a place with that kind of energy. And so it's like, okay, well, let's not leave. Let's stay and give it a shot, right, and try to build out this vision that Dave had. And that inspired me, you know, and then 4 years later, jumped from there and started this, you know, and I've carried on with that same vision. So yeah, having Dave come on board gave us the capital that we needed. You know, I knew I had enough money to go build one product, you know, had one shot, and it had to be good enough. And it's been good enough.
So what was that first product?
Yeah, it's a solar.
I think I know what it's called.
Well, it's a solar bollard. Most people don't know what a bollard is until you work in lighting, and then you find out what a bollard is. Yeah. I didn't know.
Now that you've mentioned it, I see bollards everywhere.
Yes, there are bollards everywhere in plain sight. So, you know, it's a 3 foot tall little post with a light on the top.
Yeah.
And it was our PLB series, our first product. It's our best-selling product still today. And yeah, we had enough money. We hired some guys we knew from Carmana who were doing their own thing too as mechanical designers and, mm-hmm. you know, pulled in contractors. You know, I had been out of the day-to-day engineering to know that I was kind of useless and I probably shouldn't try to do it directly myself. I knew I needed help. So I got some help, and, you know, I had a vision as a product manager of what I wanted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got lucky, and, you know, I didn't screwed up so badly that we blew all the money and couldn't sell anything. We were able to get it done, and it was the cheapest product probably ever to develop and get to market, right?
Yeah.
It was done on a pretty good shoestring, and it was amazing that it actually worked out.
And is still one of your product offerings to this day, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You sell a ton of bollards, and I don't know what else you've added to the
inventory. Yeah, we've added, you know, a couple different styles of bollards, different light fixture styles, no doubt. And the that bollard, it was really fun. It reflects our journey in many ways because we did what was possible within the scope of what we had available. You know, our brain power, our financial resources, our ability to source different kinds of metal bits and electronics and things. We worked within our means.
Yep.
And we did the best we could in that situation. And so since then, as our business has changed, our ability to invest and do things has grown and changed, we've evolved the product as we've gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got some YouTube videos out now where we beat the crap out of it, yeah. You know, and you can see what's possible now, you know, and these things are everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome. Like, and I think that's an interesting part of our journey, you know, as entrepreneurs is, you know, I just try to make the best decision we can in the moment. It doesn't mean it's going to be the best decision ever, but you're living within the constraints that you have, just do the best that you can. And you didn't, and that's it. And then if you just think that through, make a decision, you can live with it. And in the future, when conditions change, maybe you make a different decision, but you just, you know, you just keep repeat,
right,
and iterate and get better.
Which is product management, right? Is do something, you know, like Shannon Susko, who I know you read a lot of her books and subscribe to her philosophies, but she talks about gutting it out. Something on paper and then evolve and iterate.
Well, it's a great example. We gutted out a product, which I look back now and I find it, you know, when I look back at the first generation of the thing we made, I find it fairly embarrassing. But it was, in that moment, it was the best that we could gut out. So the analogy is really appropriate. And it's, you know, it was a stepping stone.
Yeah.
And we were able to engage people and win business with this thing. And people recognize, okay, this is worth paying money for, which is pretty crazy. Like, you know, you take a chance, you put yourself out there, whether it's a piece of software or a physical product, you're kind of putting yourself out there.
Put your neck out there.
And,
for sure.
You know, you think you've thought it through. You think you've listened to the market, identified a great market problem that people want to solve and pay money to solve. And then when they actually do, it's like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah. So... that was your first light.
Yes.
What made you come up with the name First Light Technology? Where did that come from? I don't think you've ever told me this.
Oh, I've never told you that. It's my other hobby, which I don't do as much of anymore, was surfing. And so we're often out surfing. You know, in surfing, you call it dawn patrol. You go do dawn patrol. Wind's normally down. You want to get out there at first light. And so we were inspired by, you know, I think the first official day of First Light, we were out surfing at China nice. Beach, you know, and I've been out there so many times over the years where you just capture that moment. It's so powerful to see the sun creeping up, the way the light plays through the trees and the mist, and it's a really awesome time. And so, you know, that's what we went with in the logo. You see, you know, it's that promise yeah. of the sun coming up over the horizon.
Now I get the logo.
Yeah, some people think it's got to do with solar lighting. It's like, no, that's lame. Like, it's just really a reference to surfing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and it's always great to hear the stories of where those names came from or the logos and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. And the girl who did our logo design, she went on and did a bunch of UI design for Airbnb.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and yeah. I think you know.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So going even further back, your entrepreneurial story, journey, like, why are you an entrepreneur? How did you get here?
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, some people, I think, maybe, you know, were born for it and knew they were going to do it. Like, you know, my background, you know, my parents, hardworking people, you know, and I was kind of grew up with a sort of a hardworking mentality, blue collar mentality. And I had never really envisioned going to university, and I hadn't really envisioned the idea of having a business. But it was one of those little things where you just take a step down a path. How does it go? You know, some paths, you know, you don't like it, you change it. And for me, I would just kept trying things. And it really, you know, wasn't until, you know, I met Dave, you know, I didn't know any entrepreneurs really growing up. Didn't even know the word, you know, well, who starts a business? Why would someone do that? Like, I had no idea about any of those things. Nor did I have any idea when we actually did start the business, but, meeting Dave and, you know, being inspired about what could be and having that belief, you know, I've had sports background. We've talked about that. You know, I like to compete, you know, I believe in my abilities, but I just didn't really understand what the possibilities were. So as I started meeting people and doing things and learning new things, you know, it just showed me what could be. And, you know, I'm a pretty direct person most of the time. And, you know, and I've read articles about entrepreneurs. And I think in my case, you know, it's like I play best when it's kind of a situation that I'm creating for myself, right? I don't necessarily want to be in someone else's thing and have to do it by their rules. I kind of want to do things the way I want to do them. And that was a big motivator, is like, I know I can do more. I know I can be better. I've always known. And, you know, so I want to take those steps. I want to iterate. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to push. And so it just, you know, even though I didn't intend it, it was really a logical outcome to go and start a business and try, because it is a great way to test yourself and find out what you're made of. You know, and honestly, the first thing you learn is all the things you suck at once you start a company.
They come flying at you.
It's like, hey, I'm really good at, I'm a great product manager, but what's finance? It's marketing? Like, you're... sales, like, what? Like, oh crap, you got to do those things too.
Yeah, you gotta do it all.
Yeah, so it's you know, if you want to learn and grow, then you will be forced to do so.
Yeah and thinking back, maybe it was the first time we met, but it was one of the Ace Tech meetings, and I think back on that time often, but how much I've seen you change. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that, like how much you've grown as an entrepreneur and a person, and how much you've changed and what's really changed about you through this.
Yeah, it's really interesting because those early changes, you're right. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm evolving and learning and growing, you know, and I think most people, you tend to just become more of what you are.
Sure.
More of yourself, maybe a more refined version of that. But, you know, early on, I really learned about how to structure a business. Processes to put in place, how to gut it out, follow these steps. Okay, you know, I'm a process driven person, so I like those frameworks. And so I did a lot of that stuff and pushed really hard and bought into a startup mentality around just gut it out and push hard and you know, do all the hard things. But more recently, the change is really around working with teams and people, you know, and understanding better understanding how to work together. It's funny because with that sports background, you know, I am a team player. I like understanding roles. I like understanding how we're going to win together. But in a business, I find it's harder to get your head around that sometimes, you know, and developing, you know, a really authentic culture around who we are, what we do, why we do it. That's become more the evolution over the last number of years. And then now, you know, we've talked about it before, this is, you know, thinking more about balance and thinking about not just, you know, consuming business books, but also thinking about, you know, mental health, you know, for myself, for our team. for my family, you know, and just really reflecting on why I started this in the beginning. And we didn't talk about that, but you know, the journey here with First Light for me was around one word, and that word was simply freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's mm-hmm. like,
I've heard you mention that many times.
Yeah, I want the freedom to do what I want with my time, and you know, and then I want the resources to be able to do those things. Right? That's all. And it's like, I don't need to be rich. I don't need to be famous. I don't care about those things, but I want that freedom. You know, I value that. And so, you know, I think one of the things that's happened, you know, to me, and I think probably a lot of people can relate to, is, you know, after a number of years, you're pushing so hard, trying to make your business grow, trying to build it, trying to learn all these business skills. You kind of lose sight, or maybe you can lose sight of why you were doing it in the first place. And if you had asked me, I would have told you that all the way along. And I have told you, freedom, that's what I'm after. But mm-hmm. I really haven't, you know, I wasn't living it.
Right.
I wasn't taking advantage of what, you know, what First Light was becoming. And, you know, the business, God, like, you know, when First Light was started, you know, we are well beyond anything I possibly could have imagined,
mm-hmm.
right? I didn't have an idea that, oh, we're going to be some kind of unicorn, or,
sure.
you know, some, we're going to have an IPO and go rent, you know, raise a bunch of VC money. I just thought we could build a nice business that does solar lighting and create a nice life
yeah.
for me, my family, and the people who are part of our team. So yeah, it's an evolution away from, you know, learning all the business things, which are necessary, no doubt. If you don't know how to, you know, how to build a forecast and deal with finances and sell things and market and, mm-hmm. you know, make and produce and do all the operational things. Like, you need those things. Those are hygiene factors for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't make a profit, you're kind of dead, unless you want to just be on the hamster wheel of raising dough, which I have no interest in.
Yeah.
Right. I want to just grow. You know, I believe our company could be profitable now. It's been profitable for a long time. And, you know, I really take a lot of satisfaction in that. But, you know, those, you know, thinking about health and balance, and, you know, for me, being out riding four times a week these days is a reflection of putting more importance on that, where, you know, I've gone months without riding in the past, where I was just here working, you know, 12, 14, 16 hour days, mm-hmm. sometimes just gutting it out. And it's necessary from time to time, you know, there are those moments, but, you know, in general, you know, once you get through that hardcore startup phase, you really got to transition. And I think a lot of us fail to do it,
mm-hmm.
and suffer as a result.
Right. And so you're talking a lot about that freedom, and it seems like finally now maybe you're starting to pursue that and create that balance. But it is a trap. Like, I want to do this. Once I get there, then I'll be, and then yeah. you get there and you're like, yeah, but if I just, then I'll get to this point. So how do you manage that trap, and then how do you manage yourself now? Because it seems like you've had some, you know, you're a little more enlightened on
yeah.
what you actually want your day-to-day and your life to be.
You know, I think it really came down to one thing for me. I'll be really honest. It's like, I've always been a very impatient person, right? I want to go fast. I want it now. I don't know why we have to wait for anything. Like, I just want to go.
Yeah.
And I really think that was a trap for me. And I've realized, like, it really, and I tend to want to live in the future. I tend to want to think about the things that could be and think ahead to what might be happening a year or two or 5 years from now, and really live that, you know. And, you know, you're right, it's hard to be satisfied in the moment when you know so much more could be.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's been a tough transition to realize, you know, for me, actually, I didn't realize that patience was actually a choice. I just thought that's just the way I was. And for me, that was a realization that was really powerful. It's like, you know what? I don't have to be impatient all the time. Because sometimes mm-hmm. when you're impatient, you end up being a bit of an ass.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, I would rather not be that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I very consciously chose to put some effort into, okay, yes, I want to get stoked about ideas and I want to push and I want to grow. But at the same time, you know, I can choose to just reflect and be in the moment and take a lot of satisfaction for what 10 years of work has created,
mm-hmm.
for the amazing team of people that we have here, my awesome family, and my ability to go out and ride and enjoy my time, right? It's just, you know, it's really comes down to, it's super trendy mindfulness word, where I've heard it tossed around business circles for a while and I didn't really, okay, yeah, I got to be in the moment, got it. But
sure.
yeah, whatever, next. Like,
what? I'm a chief mindfulness, I'm on from it.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, I'm in the moment. Fucking, let's get going. So it's taking that more seriously and just denoising my life,
mm-hmm.
And really choosing on what goals really matter, what can I do today to achieve those and just be satisfied with that. And, you know, my priorities have always been, you know, that freedom and for my family, create a great life, you know. And it's like, huh, you know, it's, man, I think a lot of people do it. It's like, yeah, and this big goal, I want to create a great life and we're going to, you know, enjoy it at some point in the future. It's like, no, we can enjoy it now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just dumb, simple things. It sounds silly when I say it in some ways, but it's really taking seriously that idea of just being in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing, you know, that, look, tomorrow's going to come. I'm going to deal with it tomorrow. You know, I have my vision, I have my goals, I got a great team. And so, you know, all that effort invested into business things is paying dividends. And now if I add that, you know, a patience piece, a mindfulness piece, you know, it just those two things, even, you know, you and I have talked about meditation before, you know, just doing simple little things like that make a world of difference.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, it's an intense time. Like First Light's growing a lot, got a lot of changes happening. But you know, and I would think, you know, of all the stresses that we've had along the journey, like if I reflect of what's going on in the, you know, in business and life right now, it's probably the most stressful part of my life. But I think because, you know, you and I have talked about it, I feel way more at peace having these strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that, that article that I saw, you know, I'm glad Viatek put it out there, talked about entrepreneurs and mental health and some of the pitfalls you need to be aware of. And it's like, I was going through the list of like, hey, heads up for these things. I was like, oh, check, 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 check.
What were those things?
It's just, you know, they talked about entrepreneurs having higher probabilities of various mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the first thing on the list was, well, self-selection. It's like, yeah, no doubt, right? It's like, you know, I'm selecting this because I get pretty intense and I want to go and I want to do it my way. And, you know, and then the goalpost moving, right?
Yeah.
That analogy, it's like, okay, you achieve a goal and many of us don't celebrate it. We move to next goal, next goal, next goal. And it's part of that impatience and part of that lack of mindfulness and being future oriented. Those were ones that definitely stuck out. One thing, I don't have substance abuse issues, thank God, you know, but I know some people probably do.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, founders eat last kind of analogy where it's like, yeah, you put everything into the business for a long time, you know, and you get used to that, you know, and it's that takes a toll. You can't do that forever.
Right.
But anyways, it yeah, I think there was like six or eight things on
right.
there.
And you're just like, yep. It's like, maybe, but.
It was just like, I need to make a change because
this
is, you know, and I think what happened to me that really made this real is, and I don't know how much we've talked about it, but my logical mind knew that First Light's awesome. You know, we've got a great company. It runs really well. Awesome people, great products, sell them all over the world. This is super wicked. And you know, this is like a dream, but I actually wasn't enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I should.
Yeah.
And I knew I should be thankful for all of it, but I didn't authentically feel super stoked. Like,
right.
you know, when we would talk about a product or a market or an idea, you know, I'd still get stoked about that, but overarching feeling of like, I was walking around with a sense of perpetual dissatisfaction because we weren't what we could be.
Right.
And, you know, it's like that goalpost is moving all the time.
Yeah.
And so that, I couldn't figure out why I was feeling like that.
Yeah.
And it was really, you know, that article sort of unlocked like, yeah, dude, like you've got to make some changes here.
Yeah.
You've got to take some of this stuff seriously because this is not a good path. You've done this for freedom. You should be super stoked about what's happening and you're not.
Yeah, that's really the goal behind the 20-mile march is like, hey, don't do too much any day, but keep doing it every day. And by the way, enjoy it while you can or while you're in it. And yeah, it's difficult, but it's so fun. But don't overdo it, right? It's like a drug, right? So that's see where that addiction piece comes from. But you know, we want entrepreneurs to do this for long term and enjoy it the whole way along, not when I get there, it's going to be awesome. Because then you get there and you're like, oh, this actually isn't that awesome. But the journey was great.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, I've been around the tech scene in Victoria since early mid 90s, you know, and I kind of had this impression. It's like the Victoria tech scene is really about startup, raise dough, that's awesome, and sell. You know, and I'd never really considered the idea of just growing a company that's profitable and great and just keep going.
Yeah, it's kind of an external pressure that's put on by whoever, right? We all feel it because I've got wrapped up in that. I was like, that's exactly what I want to do. And then you start to do it and I'm like, yeah, this is just kind of fun, but you still are chasing that.
Oh,
but that doesn't have to be the goal. What's your definition of success?
Yeah. Well, and that's where it was really interesting having Dave involved, because I was always of that mind in the early days, like, let's grow it. Let's prove the concept. Let's get a great valuation. Let's get out before, you know, it all falls in on itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dave has always counseled, like, don't. Just run a great business.
Yeah. Enjoy run a great it. Business someone will always want, and if you want to get off, you can.
For sure. Like, create a role for yourself that you're stoked about. If you want to take off for a month or 2 months or 3 months and go, you know, mountain biking or whatever you want, fine, do that. Yeah. Just hire someone, you know, to do whatever role that needs doing. And, you know, at first I'm like, yeah, that sounds great, Dave, but still we might screw it up. You know, it's like, you've seen so many stories of companies come up and then fall in on themselves. And it took that's where this early stuff around what we were doing with Shannon Susko's books, Ace Tech, building in those tools has given me confidence. It's like, you know what? Like, we're not going to make that kind of screw up. You know, maybe there's some macro thing that's going to happen here that we haven't anticipated. That could be. But our ability to execute and do what we need to do, I feel really good about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing is, the thing that was really hard for me is letting go of some things.
You know, like
we've gone through, you know, what, one of those valleys of death. Like, I think we're getting through, we've been through several, but I think we're getting through one here where, you know, I do a lot less execution. I do very little now.
Right.
You know, the success for me this year, and we've talked about it a little bit, is developing that ability to delegate and not wearing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I take overarching accountability and responsibility, no doubt. But my success is really based on the success of the team that we've built here and our ability to work together to execute our goals. You know, we're good at cooking up strategy, and, you know, now we're getting better at driving that down through the organization, through execution.
Right.
So that's been an enabler just to.
Yeah. So you've, you know, we've talked more recently and you've been through some stressful times and made some changes. And this article obviously was a big kind of a draw.
Yeah. Watershed.
Kind of woke you up. You're woke now.
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
We've talked and you've talked about doing some things, like you went on a meditation retreat. What are some of the changes that you've made to better your own mental health recently or throughout this journey?
Well, I think it's maybe back to the 20-mile concept. Fundamentally, you know, I limit my time here,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, I get up early. You know, I love my new routine. I spend an hour and a half with my wife each morning, just catching up, connecting, hanging out. You know, I come into work. You know, I focus up. I try to stay pretty focused. And then I try to get out of here and get on my bike. You know, so just making commitments to myself, like, okay, I'm going to spend that time, you know, outside of First Light so I can have the energy I need when I come in here. That's been important. And then fundamental, like, just getting into a routine with meditation, that's been really good. I did a yoga retreat, did a really cool, you know, lots of cool breathing exercises. It's just crazy.
Right. And you talked about that breathing exercise.
It was really crazy. Like, I've never done drugs of any kind. Like, I have no experience with that stuff. So I have no idea what those things do to you. But this was an exercise. I think he called it, he said it had a number of names, but transformational breath. This was at a retreat in a little 500 person town on, you know, Pacific coast of Mexico down near Ixtapa. And the guy there was great, Scott. He walked us through a bunch of breathing exercises, and, you know, he put a special effort in for us to do this transformational breath exercise, where he just said, like, yeah, this is an exercise where it just really helps bring things out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you never know, you might end up laughing, you might end up crying, you know, but it's normally a powerful experience. And, you know, after about 40 minutes, it was probably, you know, emotionally one of the most intense experiences I've ever had. And it was only through this way of breathing, you know, and him sort of coaching us through, you know, as mindfulness combined, you know, staying focused on your breath and just breathing,
mm-hmm.
you know, just created this state where, you know, I almost started laughing and then tears started coming down my cheeks. And it was nothing specific really happened, but it just felt really intense. And after, it was weird. Like, cause I'm a practical guy. I'm an engineer. You know, I don't get into this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of it, it's like, he's like, how do you feel? Like, give me one word. I'm like, I feel better. You know, and I'm like, do you mind if I give you a hug? Like, this was I just felt better, felt lighter.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just my mind is clearer. You know, and I think, you know, I've, you know, just changing habits, denoising my life, not getting wrapped into so many dumb little things, you know, and that, you know, fundamentally focusing on impatience and really trying to build patience into my life, you know, where it's like, I'm driven by emotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when I was impatient and really wanting first light to go faster, do more, you know, just, you know, that emotion can easily turn to negativity.
Yeah.
You know, and unwinding that and just, you know, switching that out with patience and stoke fundamentally changes my day, you know, and then the fact that I leave at a reasonable time, I go home, I've got my four kids, like I want to make sure I'm there and available for them, you know, and have that ability to invest in those relationships for these little people. And, you know, they're awesome. You know, they add a richness to life that's just a lot different than business. And so just my priority has always been building a great life for my family. But if I look back at what I was actually doing, it really wasn't well prioritized. It was work.
Yeah.
And then work at like 95% of my effort.
Yeah.
And everything else was kind of under that.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, honestly, I will say my number one priority is my own mental health.
Nice.
And making sure that I'm healthy. Because if I'm not good, I'm not going to be, you know, what I should be as a, you know, a CEO, a husband, a father, a friend. So it's really prioritizing that mental health as number one. My wife and my kids, number two. You know, work is number three. It's still important. I still care about it. I love what I do. You know, and I'm stoked to envision a future where, yeah, we're not trying to do a pump and dump here. We're trying to build a great company. We've got 20 people here. All, you know, people who assemble lights, people who, you know, design, people who sell, people who market, you know, operational people who are buying parts and figuring out all the logistics. You know, it's a really cool cross section of people. Yeah. And it's kind of nice to take satisfaction in having these people on our team and contributing to our local economy in that way.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's, I think it's a lot easier now to get really excited about the good things that I think that we're doing. And at the end of the day, we make solar lights, right? Like our install base. Yeah. We've got 21,000 lights installed last year. They avoided, you know, they're all off the grid. So the electricity that would have been used by normal lights, you know, we avoided that. And that's equivalent, to put it in normal people terms, it's equivalent to driving about 12 million miles in a car.
Wow.
That's how much, you know, greenhouse gases we didn't emit.
Yeah.
You know, electricity we didn't use, especially in the States where 50% is coal-fired power still or you know, pretty dirty sources. So, you know, it's kind of cool where we can, you know, have great people here, support our local economy, you know, 20 families, and then our products are making the world a little less bad.
Yeah.
And then when we do it, we're not buying stuff from places so we can get the maximum profit. We buy from, you know, companies in other local communities that where we do business.
Doing similar things.
Oh yeah. We source most stuff in Canada, some stuff in the US. And, you know, it's kind of cool to invest in those companies and support them too.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you know, it's, I hate the cliche triple bottom line stuff.
Yeah, that's,
it drives me nuts. Like I hate the cliches, but you know, we really are in living that,
yeah,
you know, and at the end of the day, you know, one of the books on the bookshelf back there, Let My People Go Surfing, you know, Yvonne Chouinard.
Did you write it?
No, but Yvonne Chouinard, founder of Patagonia, wrote it. And, you know, he's a great surfer, a mountaineer, you know, and I think, you know, he's really, through his company, perfected that mentality. We're early in that journey, you know, but, you know, we do believe you can run a great business that's good to people, you know, does make a profit, and it actually is not creating unnecessary harm. And in our case, you know, compared to a clothing brand, I think we're creating a benefit here. There is no better, easier, simpler way than doing lighting than what we do.
Right.
And so it's kind of nice to take that engineering background, that product management background, that stoke about ideas, and put it to use for something that I believe in.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool. Like, we're not making things that blow shit up. We're making solar lights that make things better, help people use facilities and get better enjoyment out of their life, lighting up pathways. You know, like here in this town, we've got the Galloping Goose with no lights, and there's all sorts of problems because it's pitch black, you know, and we light things like that up all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, and it allows people to use them and feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a all round positive, right? And I hadn't really realized that until you know, we started talking here, and you know, I'm thinking a little bit about your values. Like, can you share some of your company values, personal values, and how that influences the team, or sort of what it's like to work here too?
You know, it is that's an interesting one, right? When you go and work in companies, you always have the values and the mission statement and stuff, and normally it's just something out of, you know, some marketing handbook or something.
Throw it on the wall and we don't think about it again.
You know, it's but for me, you know, the exercise we've gone through again, which came from our work with Shan and Susco and Aztec, you know, leveraging that gut it out, it's the first question in one of the books is, why do I get out of bed and do this every day? Okay, well, it's freedom. But personally, I'm driven by a desire to become better. Mm-hmm. I want to become a better professional, a better person. And I want, you know, I know I don't know everything, so I need tools. I need information. I need, you know, help for that. You know, it's like we've known each other, you know, through round tables, and, you know, that's another mechanism to get feedback, to learn, to help each other and become better. And so, you know, our values are really around determination, right? Like, you can't go on a journey like this without some determination, right? And so, you know, we really need to see that in our team members. Like, people want to need to fight. You got to fight for what you want, because no one's going to give it to you. So determination is a core value for sure. And we've only got three, and we take it seriously, right? And our core values are my core values, right?
Yeah.
Initiative, right? If you don't take an opportunity, if you don't ask those questions, if you don't, you know, take that initiative, again, good luck.
Right.
You know, if you've got determination, but you're not willing to take initiative, you know, you meet people like that, right? Or sometimes, you know, they'll find a co-founder or something that'll help them go on that journey. But, you know, you need to be able to take that initiative. So in our business, you know, we exist in a lighting industry. Our biggest players in our industry are $3 billion companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we better have a bit of piss and vinegar,
because
we want to go nip at their heels and we want to take what they own.
Yeah.
You know, so we better be incentivized and go after it.
Yeah.
And then the other value that we'll talk about, and it's a weird one, right? Like, and to write values, I didn't Google them and look for examples and just take them. I just thought about it. It's like tight. Keep it tight is another value, where it's like, we run a tight ship here, right? We're a small business. We have a tremendous disadvantages compared to our customers, but we've got a lot of advantages with that focus. Keep it tight. Don't waste things.
Yep.
You know, we make solar lighting, right? We can't be wasteful. Mm. You know, that would be just maybe a bit hypocritical.
Right? Yeah, totally. Like,
you know, and, you know, like, our ability to be agile and move quick and be prepared, those things are our part of keeping it tight. You know, in the early days, most people thought keeping it tight were just cheap asses.
Right.
You know, in the startup, okay, well, you may not control your revenue, but you definitely control your expenses.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, sure, that gets driven into you, but it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's more like, okay, man, we know what we're doing. Yeah. We are experts in this area. We need to be tight, and we lead through that expertise, and we have confidence in it.
Yeah.
You know, no one will outdo us when it comes to our expertise around what solar lighting is and should be.
Yeah. 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 No. And that's one, you know, as I've gotten to know you, like, keep it tight. I don't think about you using that to be cheap. I think it, like, I know exactly what you mean. Like, keep it tight, like, you know, nice and tidy and proper and do things the right way. And
you know, knowing
you, I know exactly what you mean by that. And,
well, it's that impatient. I do want to grow, you know, and if we're wasting time, it just drives me crazy. Superfluous things. I can't stand them.
Totally.
You know, or even, and it's nice because, you know, when we do a website or we write copy or we make a product, how we design it, you know, whenever it comes down to, well, how do we want to do this? Well, what do our values say?
Yeah.
You know, what does tight look like? You know, if we have a weird superfluous design on a landing page, well, if it serves no purpose, then don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't put weird curves and things on our products, because why?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we form follows function.
Yeah.
You know, that's, we certainly subscribe to that. It's like, we, it looks that way because that's how it should look.
Right.
That's how it will best function.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of that, the mentality around being tight, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Appreciate you sharing all that. What's been your biggest challenge, or what's been a big challenge for you in this journey?
You know, I think the thing for me is, it's around people. You know, coming from an engineering background, you know, oftentimes as engineers, we're not necessarily blessed with spectacular, you know, charismatic people skills. Mm. But, you know, I've always felt like I lead by doing. Mm-hmm. you know, but growing this business and learning to understand, well, not everybody ticks the way that I do.
Totally.
You know, and you know, having that core culture where I don't want to compromise on those values, but need to recognize that people are going to think and do things in their own way in their own time. You know, that's definitely been the hardest part of the journey for me in assembling a team, not of, you know, me clones, but of people who add new skills, new value that can then contribute to the mission that we're on. So yeah, I would definitely say, you know, it's the people side of things. You know, I know that's something that you're really good at. And, you know, for me, it's a skill, you know, that I'm trying to build. I want to make sure I have people on the team who are skilled there. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's the strength of our team that will dictate our success, yeah. You know, and the alignment around those core values for sure. But, you know, yeah, building out those skills have been a major challenge. And that's the interesting thing is your business, you know, at the beginning through now, you get a lot of evolutions. So people come and go,
right?
You know, and they may be there for one time and maybe they're not a fit anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and having those situations occur, that's always really hard.
Yeah.
You know, because these
people... They become like family and they're friends for sure. But then maybe they can't keep up with the business or it's changed and they don't want to be a part of it or you don't want them to be... very difficult thing.
Yeah, and that piece is hard for sure.
And I think that's something not to keep, you know, bringing up Shannon. But I think one of the things she says is all issues are people issues or they all kind of end up there. So,
well, and that's where for us, you know, we're trying to build that into how we operate our business where we'll subscribe to, you know, through these frameworks. Okay, we'll subscribe to something called top grading. All right, top grading wants you to look at your team in the context of A, B, and C players. Everyone talks about A players. We all want them, of course. Well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and for us, we've put a definition to it. Okay, you know, it's the classic sort of two axes.
Yeah.
You know, is someone rarely, usually, you know, or sometimes living our core values, and then are they a low, medium, and high performer?
Right.
You know, and we try to make that less subjective, you know, through metrics, accountabilities, and those types of things. You know, but the core value piece is sometimes tricky.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think at the end of the day, you know, if someone isn't really living those core values, usually, you know, by definition, they become a C player. And then you need to, you know, there's a process to go through there, no doubt.
Yeah.
But it comes down to people. And it's like, you know, it doesn't mean someone's good or it doesn't mean they're bad, but it just means it's not a fit.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I know you're an athlete too, and you've been on teams, and we've all had those situations where, hey, you maybe have a great team of awesome players, but you suck as a team.
Yeah.
If you don't have that chemistry, if you don't have that alignment, you're just going to be grinding gears. And it's like, I've worked in every company I've been in. There's been tons of that because there wasn't clarity around who are we? Where are we going? Why are we going there?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have that clarity around why you exist, you're just going to have more issues around people.
It just becomes busyness. Everyone's doing stuff, but nobody's really productive and you're all kind of spinning wheels. And that, I can see that with a team, you fall apart.
Totally. And I think most people have good intentions.
Right.
But if that alignment isn't there, then it's just going to be hard, you know, and that does lead to conflict.
For sure.
Because someone's trying, but they're not doing it the right way, that somebody else thought they were going to do it. And it's just, it just leads to noise. And that's where it goes back to being tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we got to be aligned. We were too small. We have too big an opportunity to waste time.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to maximize our effort. And we do it, you know, by, you know, building our ability to act as a team, you know, good strategy, tight execution, great metrics, you know, those things all matter, but yeah, without the team component, you know, or getting better at that, it's just going to be for naught.
Yep. Yep. That's a great point. And then just wanted to also ask, you know, last question here. On this journey, you know, which is, you've gone through a lot. First Light's been around 10 years. You just celebrated 10 years.
We just did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Congratulations on that.
Thanks. It's been a fast 10 years. I, you know, when we started, I couldn't imagine what 3 or 5 years might have held.
Yeah.
And so I'm in completely uncharted territory.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking back on that 10 years, is there anything about the journey that you would change knowing what you know now? Maybe not specific to the Ballard, but to the journey.
It's a tough one, right? Because one step leads to another. But knowing what I know now, I definitely would have started the business without the consulting. You know, I would have put a bit more effort in to maybe before jumping off of, you know, starting a product-based company from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, like that was a really, really hard gear change. And that caused a lot of pain. You know, obviously, I totally wish I'd known all these business things and all these team things. But to change anything, like, you know, the funny thing around the people component is many times, you know, when you say goodbye to someone, you realize you probably should have done it a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that always sticks out.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a hard choice, especially early on when you know, not having been a person who's done a lot of HR stuff as a, you know, a product manager, sales engineer, design engineer in my previous roles, learning the hard way.
Yeah.
So it's pretty tough. Like I'm,
for sure.
I'm normally not a person who regrets a lot of stuff. You know, sometimes we've made some dumb technical decisions, no doubt here or there, but I think probably the people piece is learning, taking that more seriously sooner, maybe would be the change. And then, you know, from the business side, you know, bypassing consulting because it just cost a lot of years of spinning wheels, you know, jumping. I knew what the product should have been at the beginning and I should have probably just done a bit more work and maybe pulled data in sooner just to get on with it.
Yeah.
So
that, and you've talked about that because we've talked about other people that have been, you get stuck with consulting and you can make good money, but it's a one-to-one relationship. It doesn't scale. And you talked about this, and I think it was you that said, you just burned the boats. You're like, we're not doing it. Like, we just don't do consulting.
Yeah,
if we're going to become a product. Because you almost, you know, consulting is almost like a separate business that once you start the product, you stop doing all of that.
Well,
now you started this new company.
Consulting trains you to not focus, right? Consulting is all about put as many lines in the water as you can within anything that someone might pay you money to do. You know, and there's guys out there like Scott Phillips, a really great example where he is, you know, what he's been able to do with a business like his that does do consulting, the focus that he's developed and his ability to scale that is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
You know, but in my experience, not knowing what he knows, you know, it was just so hard because you're out there trying to look for work. Fuck, great. I finally win something. And then you start doing the work. Yahoo, get paid. And it's like, oh, crap. Now I'm out of work. Now I got to get more.
Yeah.
You know, and then the main thing for me that was a problem and why I'm not a consultant is, you know, I don't want First Light to be about me. Right? It's the last thing I want it to be about. You know, I want First Light to be about the good that we do, the team that we have, the things that we make, not me.
Right, right.
Right? My most important role is get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, not be the problem because all those founders... You know, I don't know if you felt it or not. Oftentimes, we will become the problem.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the problem.
Yeah.
Right? I want to be something else to be
the problem. It takes a certain ego to even do this, right? But then that ego becomes a problem, right? Because, you know, we talked about your visions and values, and it sounds like that's so important to have it ingrained in the company. And it comes from a lot from you. But then you also have to step out of the way and let people do things somewhat their way. And you have to remove your ego and not be the linchpin in the whole thing.
It is a tricky position. It is. And then we're in that transition.
Yeah.
You know, where success for me at some point, I don't want to be the CEO of this business.
Right.
At some point, I want to transition to an executive chairman or a board role where now the keys get turned over. We've built such a great system. We've got such clarity in what we're doing. We've grown our people up. And ideally, someone who works here will take that role.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the thing I want to create with First Light, you know, great products, no doubt, want to make a profit doing it. But at the end of the day, I want to create an environment where people can do what I've been able to do. And like Carmano was spectacular for me.
Right.
Like in 4 years there, the things I was able to learn, the transition I was able to go through there was really powerful from an engineer to a product manager. You know, maybe it doesn't sound like much, but the difference in exposure I got to the to the world of business was transformational.
Yeah.
And so within First Light, I want to provide that opportunity to others. Where they can come in, they do a job, but if they want to grow, they want to change, they want to take on something new and push themselves, I want to welcome that. I don't want to drive people out of the company because, hey, sorry, you're in this role. This is all you can do.
Yeah.
I want to create that environment where, hey, if you think you're capable of more and you want to reach for something, you want to ask, you want to take that initiative and you get that determination, cool.
Do it.
Let's see where it can go.
Yeah.
And that's where it's exciting, right? Like we've taken a big change for me this year was promoting an operations manager into a general manager role. It and that's been transformational for me, and I think for him too.
For sure.
Right? He's a guy, he just owns it, he lives it, he wears it, and he takes a lot of pride in his work. It's like, great, like let you have a bigger role, a bigger mandate. And I see it in almost everywhere in the company where people step up, you know, and it may not even be something that their role entails, but they'll make a suggestion. Hey, do you ever think about this? Or you ever think about that? And it's like, that's the power of our team.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, you don't have to live in your silo. If you see something that you think could be better, I expect you to say so.
Right.
You know, for the good of the team and for the good of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we have our little kudos program, you know, our referral program. Like, we want to encourage people to do or say things and have others recognize them for those contributions that go above and beyond.
Yeah.
Just kind of what you're expected to do with your job.
Yeah.
And so it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, you know, as the type of leader that I am, yeah, I want to lead by doing, but I do believe the best comes from, you know, pulling from the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? It's like, I have no issue taking decisions, you know, and I will for sure. But I want to make sure, you know, that I leverage this awesome brain power that we have in our business, you know, for best effect.
Yeah.
You know, and I encourage everyone in the business to do it. Right. It's, you know, it's funny because a lot of people want to say, okay, I think this is a good idea. I'm just going to go do it. And it's like, yes, I appreciate the initiative, but I'd rather you keep it tight. I'd rather you ask the questions, pull the team, you know, and take that good idea and make it that much better.
Yeah.
Right. Because at the end of the day, a lot of people really don't talk, you know, in this way when we're in startups or high growth companies. But for me, the reason why we're doing really well is the devil's in the details, right? It's easy to have good ideas, big ideas.
Lots of great ideas out there.
You know, it's totally, right? It's just those little details, like, hey, I've got a great idea that's 80% there, but if I talk to a couple of the people here, maybe I'll take it to 90 or 95 or 99%. Right. You know, let's take that time. Don't spend forever doing it. Do it quickly, no doubt, but have that conversation first.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Put that thought in and then go execute as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
But that process is really important for me. And it's like, I, you know, in other companies, at times I'd wish someone had just asked me, hey, what do you think about this idea?
Right.
You know, or even create an environment where they encourage you to ask questions. Like, I was working in one job where I had no idea why we made anything. Someone would just tell me what to do and I would do it. And then I just started asking why.
Where's that purpose?
And it was funny. Like, why are we doing this? Who wants this? Do we sell? I didn't even know if we even made any money selling it or if there was a profit. I had no idea. It was just so weird in hindsight. And so I just started asking questions, mostly why? Why? Yeah. Why this? Why that? And a lot of people actually got uncomfortable by it. You know, and that's when I knew I needed to get out of like a heads down engineering role, because I was more interested in the bigger problems, like why.
Yeah, which is Simon Sinek talks a lot about that. Why? Like, why do we do this?
You know,
they buy a product because like of why you make it.
Yeah.
Not always just the features and benefits of it.
Right? Oh, yeah. Like back in, you know, it was a couple of years out of engineering and, you know, I started asking those why and people started getting uncomfortable and I would fight.
Five
whys. Totally. And I would fight for what I thought made sense, you know, and sometimes I would win and sometimes I would lose and sometimes I'd be surprised I didn't get fired. But the company was really great because they supported me and I went and took a business course. Right. Night school, UVic, continuing education. It's like, oh, that blew my mind. It's like, whoa, the world beyond engineering is like a big world and there's a lot of cool stuff out here.
Yeah.
And that really kind of lit fire for me and made me want to like transition. Like, you know, some people are born to be great engineers and we need them, right? I don't, you know, I can't do what our engineering team does, you know, and I'm glad they're really good at that. But, you know, I wanted to go on to sort of market problems, more nebulous things.
Yeah.
And that's where I got lucky at Carmana to transition to that product management role, which is a funny one because I didn't even know if anyone teaches programs on how to be a product manager. I see it in everything now. So for me, you know, I was lucky that I worked with someone who pointed me towards pragmatic marketing.
Yeah.
You know, and their framework. Again, like I like those frameworks. I like, hey, you know, I know people have solved these problems. Someone's good at it.
Yeah.
Right. This is not, you know, I'm not the first person to try to make a thing. Right. Yeah. I'm not the person to try to take a business from, you know, a million to 5 to 10.
Yeah.
You know, people have done this. People know how to do it. Someone's good at it. Let's just start asking. And that's where, you know, thank God, you know, the ego is out of the way to the point where you can ask questions and accept that I just don't know. Like, sure. I could grind away, but I encourage everyone here to ask questions. So I better do it too.
Totally.
You know, and that's what led me to ASTEC, which, you know, that's, you were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do we level up? How do we get better? Yeah. Well, let's ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't put yourself out there, you're going to get what you're going to get.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally. Well, Sean, I really appreciate you taking the time for this podcast. You know, just a ton of great information for the listeners. You know, again, just thanks for going deep and sharing all that stuff. And, you know, we just really want to promote that complete entrepreneur. You know, you're an engineer, you're a business guy, you're a family man, you're a visionary, you're doing all these things, you've raised money, you've been a consultant, right? Yeah. And so we just want to have that conversation. So I really appreciate you doing that on the podcast today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And I, you know, maybe, I don't know how hard we hit it, but people really need to take seriously the idea of balance.
Yeah.
You know, it's like pouring yourself entirely into your business, although it might seem like a good idea or necessary at some points, but think of the 20-mile concept.
Yeah. And think of, like you mentioned, the why. Why am I doing this? Why am I here at, you know, 10 o'clock at night doing this when I've been here since 7? And what's the goal?
Just reflect on, you know, are your actions consistent with what those desires are?
Absolutely.
For sure. And I think that simple check-in with yourself, you know, and ask for help, talk to people.
Yeah.
Because others are living it. Have lived it. You know, everyone
loves it. We want to create that conversation more.
Yeah, for sure. And people do it, mentors all the time for business stuff, but they should also have a way to check in and make sure that that energy is there, that ability to go do that 20-mile march for the foreseeable future. This is not a sprint.
Totally.
Right? And don't treat it like one.
Absolutely. Great. Yeah. Well, appreciate it. And thanks to the listeners for tuning in. Check us out at 20mile.co or follow us on social media at 20mileco. And if you can, if you found this interesting, share it with at least one other person in your network. And until the next time, keep on marching.